You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, just a quick reminder that if you're going to be making any purchases on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, please go to www.9to5.cc first and click the links in the sidebar or at the bottom of the page to support the site. It makes no difference to you, but it really helps us out a lot. Enjoy the show. Thanks. Totally lost count of track of which episode this is.
Seven.
I think it's like seven, six.
Yeah. I just remember you saying six in the last one.
Yeah. But then there's also that we threw in the Michael Gray Goobler interview.
It's eight.
That fucks up the count. Who knows?
Yep.
More movies.
Sure. What did we see?
I saw The Harvest.
Did you?
Yes. And then you saw...
Bag Boy, Lover Boy.
Right.
Yes.
So The Harvest is a film with... you're going to need to remind me of his name. I remember hearing it as Officer Van Alden from...
Sorry about Michael Shannon?
There you go.
Yep.
where he plays a nurse who is married to a doctor, and they have a child who is very, very sick, and they're home treating the child,
okay.
I suppose. And at least just... Judging from the trailer, this isn't really much of a spoiler. It seems that there's like something more nefarious at foot, and there's at
with
least
the boy's illness.
With the boy's illness, yeah, and there's like almost an allusion to the fact that maybe the doctor is like keeping him sick.
Okay,
that's at least what you get from the trailer. So like, yeah, like a kind of, I guess, psychological, not thriller, but like psychological drama, psychodrama. That's what I'm gonna say.
Okay.
Bag Boy, Lover Boy.
Bag Boy, Lover Boy is the tale of a slightly autistic hot dog vendor in New York City who is approached by an erotic photographer who attempts to capture something of the man's mystique.
Okay.
He goes to take pictures, nudie pictures with girls, and falls deep into a dark downward spiral of art creation, naked women, and autism.
I hear that it's sort of like if Napoleon Dynamite was a psychophotographer.
Correct.
All right.
There's I worked long and hard on that Napoleon Dynamite thing. It's very much like if Napoleon Dynamite, rather than being in a lovable Western Ohio in the 80s, was in fact in extremely dark, gritty New York in the 80s. And his autism, rather than being fueled into pictures of unicorns, is instead fueled instead fueled into like murder and cannibalism.
Fun.
Oh, dude, it was so good.
Was cannibalism even a spoiler?
Maybe.
All right.
I don't know. I might have just spoiled something there, but I still think it will delight you and terrify and horror you.
Okay.
Horrify you. Yeah.
So I'm gonna talk a little about The Harvest.
Yeah.
So I thought it was The Harvest. The performances were all. Give me the name of the director.
The name of the director is John McNaughton.
Yes, and John McNaughton, famous for, you know this.
Do I?
Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Oh, snap.
Yes.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. And so this is, I mean, obviously that was like a big part of me wanting to see this.
Yeah,
was just
for
to
sure.
see what he's been up to.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely lacks a bit of the edge of Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. And it's a very, very, very slow burn.
Okay.
And there's like a lot of scenes where there's like the tension between the characters and you're sort of trying to piece together whether or not the doctor is up to bad news or is trying to help. Like, she's definitely over medicating the kid. That's established very, very early. That's not really a spoiler.
Okay.
Like, one of the first scenes is Michael Shannon.
Yep.
Michael Shannon getting medication from like one of his nurse buddies. Like, and she's like, "You're going through this too fast," and they're like getting it through like sketchy means that she's getting the medicine and stuff. So you're like, "This is fucking weird."
Yeah.
And you're just sort of watching this movie, and I would say that like, and this is gonna sound really bad.
Okay.
But don't take it with a grain of salt. I guess it really almost feels like a fucking made-for-TV movie, and it's like weird slow pacing, and like it's just about these three people, and it all takes place in a house. And oh, there's also like a little girl like moves in next door and tries to like make friends with the sick kid.
Were you bored?
I wasn't bored. I'm just saying it had all those like all those parts of a made-for-TV movie, but came together to be a lot more than that. Like a Hallmark movie on fucking like about murderers. Okay. Like, you know, like it was just sort of like, it could have come together to be like a feel good movie.
Right.
About this little girl that moves in next door and then like helps the sick kid and they play catch and you're like, yay. But it goes fucking horribly wrong.
Okay.
And then there's, like I said, there's a really, really solid what the fuck moment where you're like, you're watching it and you're like, your jaw will be like, what the fuck just happened in this film? Right. We'll talk about that in the spoilers.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, it does have all those things, but it's just, I mean, I feel like maybe McNaughton.
Yep.
Is that it? McNaughton maybe lost a little bit of his edge in terms of... I was like, it felt like everything in the movie could have been done more. I would I would give this a like a weekday Netflix recommendation.
Oof, okay.
Yeah, it's not great, not bad, but right. Like I said, the performances were really great. The Michael Shannon, name of the girl?
The name of the girl, Samantha Morton.
That's the doctor? Is that what it says?
I don't know. It doesn't say. Peter Fonda and Natasha Collis.
Yeah, Peter Fonda's good in it, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, cool. there's just, like, there's a lot of pretty good performances in the whole way through. It just sort of is a very small story, which I feel the stakes... Anyway, hard to describe.
Okay.
Just like I said, made-for-TV movie that is actually kind of scary.
And does a little more than a made-for-TV
movie. Does a little more, and gets obviously better performances. Like, the actors all deliver top-shelf performances. So, yeah.
Okay.
Well. Now, tell us about Bag Boy, Lover Boy.
Oh, man. Well, I think my little rundown kind of covered it. Like, any more detail that I get into is going to be pretty spoilery. But, this is, like, a challenging movie to watch. It's really, like, that tone where you're watching Napoleon Dynamite run around and do stuff, and it's all super awkward, and he's just, like, having trouble getting his words out. And then he runs into people who you think might be normal, and they turn out to be just as fucking weird and awkward also.
Yeah.
Like, that happens quite a bit with this character as well. And because he's so quickly brought into this, like, very dark, seedy, nudie photo by this, like, super sleazy photographer guy, and then his imagination gets captured by the power of photography and, like, taking pictures of people and, like, directing them when they're in the photo shoot and whatever. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think this character gets explored a little bit more in a way that Napoleon doesn't, because he just never gets any agency.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm overusing this comparison here. But, but like... You know, if you're just looking for, like, a funsy movie, this is not the movie for you. If you're looking for something super dark that gets into the, like, the really black sides of photography and casting and has just the craziest, I mean, I'm losing my words. I don't even know how to describe how weird this movie
is. This seems like it's kind of been done before, though.
Really?
Like, well, maybe not with an autistic guy.
Okay.
Like, but I'm just saying with the whole, like, the photographer who gets, like, enamored with the fucking thing and then, like, ends up doing a murder to his muse or, like... Huh. I feel that these movies have happened.
Yeah, maybe. I certainly haven't seen them before. And this one was, like, 100% entertaining the whole way through for me. I, like, absolutely loved it. If you're into any, like, weird, wacky, indie horror type of stuff, it'll blow you away. Yeah.
Anything that you'd put it on the shelf with? Like, where would you file it? Is there any other movies that you could draw a comparison to? I mean, other than Murderous Napoleon Dynamite?
I kind of want to say Il est arrivé chez nous.
Okay.
Like, really. Or, hold on, what's the English version of that? Man Bites Dog.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty high.
I was saying,
from your description, it kind of sounds like a Harmony Korine film a little bit, like Julian Donkey Boy.
Or Kids.
Kids, yeah.
Yeah, you're making, like, the New York connection, so that's
And also just, like, the characters that maybe are mentally ill.
Yeah.
Right? More in Julian Donkey Boy and Gummo. Also, Gummo is more about trailer trash.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good. That's excellent. I can't believe you did that without seeing it. But the reason I go over towards Man Bite Dog is that it, like, this has a bit of the weird... Like, it's definitely not filmed as a documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
But it has a bit of the weird following this crazy guy around. You're not sure if you're rooting for him or rooting against him, and it just, like, his downward spiral accelerates and gets completely nuts. So, definitely enjoyable. Don't see this if you have a weak stomach or anything.
It
gets to some pretty hellacious.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, well, the still footage or the still frame that they use and whatever is just the dude just
bathed in
covered
blood.
In blood. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, for sure.
Spoilers?
Yeah, let's spoil spoilers.
These are the spoilers.
All right.
Yeah.
So spoilers
for
The Harvest.
Okay.
There are two kids.
Is that a spoil?
No. But the family has two kids, and this is the big what the fuck moment, which is there is no. It makes 100% sense when they reveal, and there's no forewarning that this happens.
Right.
The kid who I believe is named Andy in the film. Can barely move. Mm-hmm. He fucking sleeps all day and whatever. He drags himself into the basement.
Okay.
On the recommendation. No, not even. I don't think the girl's even been down there. Oh, no, no. It's the... Sorry. Sorry. The girl, who has all of her faculties, she is hiding from the parents because she's not allowed to fucking hang out with the little sick kid. You know, like, this is very weird that the parents are putting such a barrier between...
The kids.
And you're like, just fucking let him play. Like, right. Come on now. You know, and you're like, oh, this is just like an evil psycho woman. And then she, while hiding from the parents, like hides into a closet and then like goes down some stairs. And then there's another room downstairs and there's another sick little boy.
What?
Yeah, and you're like, what the actual fuck?
Right.
And then it turns out that the sick little boy downstairs is the actual biological child of Michael Shannon and the wife.
Right.
And that they're sort of like keeping the other one sick and like preserved and overly medicated to wait for it, harvest his organs to try to save their actual child.
Super cool.
Yeah, and you're like, oh fuck, what the fuck?
Wait, so Michael Shannon ends up being a bad guy?
No, he's the like sort of unwitting accomplice. Not unwitting, unwilling accomplice.
Unwilling. Huh.
Because he's a nurse and she's a doctor, and as she constantly reminds him, right. She's like, this is what's best for our family, whatever. And he's like,
wow.
He's like, we don't have a fucking family. This kid's been sick this entire life. Like, right. This other kid is more our fucking kid. Because at least he's, like, conscious.
Crazy.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. So there is, like I said, like, that twist is fucking very solid, but it doesn't necessarily excuse the pacing of the entire film. It's a really good twist, and then, the girl sort of reveals to the sick kid, and then it's like, yeah, so the other kid is not sick. Uh-huh. He's just fucking...
Just being medicated so that they can harvest him later.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. It. And it's like in the film, they successfully do, I think, part of like a liver transplant or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they're building up to a heart transplant, which is what she thinks is going
to
save
her. The whole setup that you're describing to me sounds great.
Yeah.
It sounds like this could make an excellent horror film.
It is. It's just, like, I don't know if maybe it's just because I was like... expecting more because of Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Yeah.
Like, I just wanted it to be bigger. Like, I wanted the mom to be, like, more psychotic. Like, right. I wanted her to, like, cut somebody up or something. like, I know it sounds stupid, and you're like, oh, you're nitpicking. But it's just, if this sounds interesting, watch it.
Yeah.
And you'll see that the pacing is just very slow, very kind of plodding, deliberate, good performances. But it's, like... And I think that maybe McNaughton was going for, like... trying to present it as real, but then you're like, it's so fucking crazy that you have a doped up child that you're there to harvest his organs for while you keep your other child in the fucking basement.
Right.
Like, that's so out there that maybe the psycho needs to go further out there to, like, because she's already
bring it all together.
She's already doing a crazy thing,
right?
You know, like, she needs to, I feel that she maybe like needed to do more crazy things because she's literally thinking about murdering a kid to take his heart to put it in her son, who she has locked in the basement to save his life. Well, not locked in the basement. Like,
right.
You know, he's on like a respirator and all that stuff. So, you know what I mean?
I think I'm getting you.
It just needed to be like, you're like, it, like, the concept is already fucking really out there. You just like kind of maybe needed to go a little further with it.
Interesting.
But yeah, like I said, with
like good performances. Overall.
Good performances. Yeah. Good performances all around. And also from like the little kid too. You're just sort of like. It's always, and again, and maybe that's why you wanted it to, maybe that's why it didn't go as far, because it is kids, and maybe, like, it was a little weird.
Yeah, having kids on the set. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, that's it, where it was just sort of like, you want, like, the little kid's performance was really good. The one who was playing the fake kid, like, he was just sort of like, and you're just sort of like, just like a little kid, he goes downstairs, and he's like, are you my brother? Like, talking to the kid on the respirator, you know, like, he doesn't put together... the horrible situation. He just thinks that, oh, like, I have a brother and he's also sick.
Right.
And you're like, oh my god, dude.
Awesome.
you know, you're just like, oh, you're so fucking, you're just a little kid. Like, you know, like you or I would put this together almost right away to be like, this is fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh,
yeah.
I have a brother who's also sick. You know, like,
amazing.
You're like, oh, fuck. And yeah, cute, good performances from everybody.
Okay. So, Bag Boy Lover Boy.
That's cannibalism. You already kind of spoiled
cannibalism.
That one.
Yeah,
he eats people.
I don't know.
Does he play with their brains?
I really wanted to give like a level to the depravity that this gets to. Like he looks like this like super tame, semi-retarded guy just selling hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
He gets brought up that like whatever the photographer guy is like, oh, I love your look. You got to come do photos, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And then he gets him up, at, you know, like gets him in the photo shoot with this like super attractive girl in a bikini. He's like, yeah, yeah, you love her, you love her. She's so sexy. Now put this bag on her head. Yeah, now like strangle her because it's sexy. Now you're loving it, you know, like. And he's just like egging him on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the photographer guy goes away from town for a little while, and he accidentally ends up with the keys to his studio. So he mm-hmm. brings a girl up there, and he's just like having fun taking pictures and like directing her, and she's just like playing along because it's clearly like a semi-autistic guy, can't really talk perfectly, doesn't make any sense, has a really thick accent. And then all of a sudden it's like he chokes her and then he's fucking her corpse, you know, and you're like, whoa, that just went up to 11 all of a sudden, you know.
Yeah.
And then there was like a meat grinder from a previous shoot. So he grinds up her corpse and then starts selling hot dog, like hamburgers along with his hot dogs in his little hot dog stand. And then he picks up like a prostitute, and then she thinks she's just going to go up and have sex with him. And then instead he just like starts taking pictures of her, chokes her out, and like nuts, dude, completely nuts. And it's all held together by this guy. What was his name? John Watcher, I think, is the name of the guy. And mm-hmm. he just, like, his, like, character held it together so well mm-hmm. the whole way through. He's just so weird and off-putting. And you're, like, rooting for him, and then he's fucking corpses. Like,
yeah, exactly. I was like, it sounds, at least from the way you're talking about it, it sounds like it could be a little just, like, playing for shock. But if the guy is actually, like, putting good in a good performance,
yeah,
you know, then I think that would kind of save it and just prevent it from just being a stupid slasher movie about a guy just kind of doing like n'importe quoi.
Yeah, in a weird way it is a stupid slasher guy doing n'importe quoi, but it absolutely, his character holds it together. And also, like, you can tell that the director has a bit of a bone to pick with the whole photography process.
Yeah, you were telling me a little bit at the Q&A.
Yeah, the Q&A afterwards, they started talking about how, like, they have all been in a studio with a girl. She gets, you know, they offer her a job. The job mm-hmm. says you got to get naked. And then the girl she signs up. She's hired for the job. She goes on set. She's like, you know, this doesn't fit with my morals. And everybody on set is like, what the fuck? What the mm-hmm. fuck is wrong with you? You took a job to get naked. Now you're not going to get naked. What is wrong with you? You know, and just wanting to murder her.
So this is like a revenge piece on models.
It might be. And actually, I know it is because the director said that it was. But I don't want to like focus too much on that because, you know, that's like background stuff that you're not necessarily going to get to participate in.
Well, you're in the spoiler section.
I'm in the spoiler section. I know, but I still think this was like thrilling. I can't wait to find a copy of this thing so we can watch it together.
Cool.
Likewise, like I think like the whole gang could get together and like ruminate on the subject of theater and photography. Like, it was so funny. I'm pumped by this.
All right.
Yeah.
So coming up next, we have Malaysian parkour
action
time
thriller, The Run.
The Run.
Yeah, and also we are going to talk about the comedy bizarro I Am a Knife with Legs.
Right. Also,
yeah.
Before we cut, I really want to say, give a quick shout out to the people that made Cybernatural.
Yeah.
Because they, I lamented that I did not get to see it.
We lamented,
and I feel that
they
added a second screening just for me. No, they didn't. But they did mention that if I couldn't make it to the second screening, they would actually send me a screener, because they were like, they're really trying to get the word out for that movie, and they're like, it's a bit of a hard sell to have a movie that is like, you're like, just watch a computer screen for an hour and a half.
And it is a hard sell, but so many people see their world through a computer screen these days. It
makes
total fucking sense.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But anyway, shout out to the producers of Cybernatural. There's a second screening at Fantasia, so you should also check it out.
Go see it.
People.
Yep.
And the show will roll on.
Coming up next, The Run and I Am a Knife with Legs.
Right. Hey guys, it's me again. Just a quick reminder, 9to5.cc is a fan-made, fan-supported website. That means we don't have any sort of an advertising budget. The only way we really have to get our name out there is by our fans sharing us, liking us, and supporting us. So if you enjoy what we're doing, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We're there. Tell your friends that this podcast is happening, then it's a lot of fun. Also, if you like what we're doing, we do have a podcast for the rest of the year, John and I, called 9 to 5 Entertainment System that we do with the other founders of the sites, Scott and Sophie. And we also have another podcast that we do through the rest of the year called Go Plug Yourself, for myself and Walter J. Ling, talk to people that have interesting stuff coming up in Montreal. So once again, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We're on both of them. If you see us at the festival, come say hey, and keep listening and keep enjoying the show. We're going to try to keep having episodes pretty much on a daily basis. Fantasia has been so great so far. So yeah, I'm done. Here we go. Thanks for listening.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.